Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Let's get to the docket. First, Ghislaine Maxwell settles into her new home. Depp v. Heard. I said this case would never end. Famous bank robber, a guy by the name of Willie Sutton, said he robbed banks because that's where the money is. Well, in today's world, he'd probably have to change that to churches. Wait until you hear this story. Don't mess with kids. This woman will mess you up. A story for the you can't make this stuff up category, another true love story, and then finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it. All right, aficionados, you know the drill. Subscribe if you have not, like the video if you do, hit that little bell so you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. Remember, if you can't watch us on YouTube, you can always look for us on any of your favorite podcasting apps. Just simply type in Crime Talk with Scott Reich, and that includes Apple, Audible, as well as Spotify. Let's go ahead and open the docket for July 25th, 2022. Ghislaine Maxwell has been sent to Florida. She will serve her 20-year sentence for helping that guy named Jeff abuse underage girls. Now, the former socialite has been moved to FCI Tallahassee, which is a low security prison down there in Florida, almost where she committed her crimes. Now, the Bureau of Prisons indicates that Ms. Maxwell will be eligible for release on July 17th of 2037. The facility in Danbury was expected to be where Maxwell would serve her sentence after the request from the lawyers. During the sentencing, Maxwell's lawyer said, "We request that Ms. Maxwell be designated based on a recommendation by the court to the Bureau of Prison Facility. The women's facility is Danbury, and also a recommendation that she be enrolled in the FIT program, which is the Female Integrated Treatment Program, to address past family and other trauma issues." Now, Judge Nathan said, "I recommend to the Bureau of Prisons consideration for placement in Danbury and consideration for eligibility in the enrollment in the FIT program." The FIT program would have allowed Maxwell to be part of a therapeutic community that will help her understand how her own abusive father shaped her life. Mm-hmm. Workshops would have included trauma in life and seeking safety so she could process the impact of being abused by her father, the late British press baron, Robert Maxwell. As you may recall, in court, her lawyers tried to argue that Robert's abusive behavior around his children made Ghislaine Maxwell vulnerable when she met that guy named Jeff around the same time her father's death in 1991. And prior to her sentencing last month, Maxwell made a public statement expressing remorse for her actions. And she said, quote, "I realize I have been convicted of assisting that guy named Jeff to commit these crimes. My association with that guy named Jeff will permanently stain me. It is my biggest regret of my life that I have ever met him." She added that guy named Jeff fooled all of those in his orbit and claimed she herself was a victim of his. She has also written in a memo to the sentencing that a troubled childhood made her vulnerable to commit such heinous acts after her father's death in 1991. Now, she appeared to have replaced one controlling, manipulative father with a nearly identical man, a guy named Jeff, who she dated before becoming the boss of the now convicted sex trafficking organization. So although the judge, who is quite powerful in the United States District Court, placement is always up to the Bureau of Prisons. And given the length of the sentence, she may not necessarily meet the criteria for getting into the programs that the court thinks that she would benefit from. And frankly, it's a low security prison. It's not exactly the worst time one could possibly do. Don't get me wrong. Nobody wants to go to prison. But if you're going to have to go to prison, do federal time. It's a little better. Next on the docket, Depp v. Heard. Johnny Depp and Amber Heard's trials continue with Depp's legal team filing a counter appeal on Friday afternoon, less than 24 hours after his ex-wife filed a notice of appeal in Fairfax County, Virginia. Plaintiffs and counterclaim defendant Johnny Depp by counsel hereby appeals the Court of Appeals of Virginia from all adverse rulings and from the final judgment order of this circuit court entered on June 24th of 2022. The notice of appeal is set to challenge the jury's decision earlier this year to award the Ms. Heard $2 million in damages based upon public comments deemed to be defamatorily made by Depp's former attorney, Adam Waldman. Now, lawyers for Heard formally notified Virginia courts last week of her notice of appeal and the lawsuit Depp filed, obviously alleging that she defamed him. Mm-hmm. Now, Depp came out a little more favorably ahead of the six-week televised trial, being awarded $15 million in damages, which was later reduced to $10.35 because of Virginia's statutory limit. I took a lot of heat from people who said that, Scott, you are wrong about this. Johnny Depp has won. No, this is not over. This will go on forever. Now, I get Johnny Depp. Hey, if you're going to appeal, then we're going to appeal, say that the court made errors and the jury got it wrong as well, and we're entitled to more money. So if you want to go appeal this, let's go. Let's rumble. That's what takes place. I told this before, and I will say it again. One of the reasons why I do not like civil litigation is it is a war of attrition. Who can go the longest without filing for bankruptcy? Bottom line. Next on the docket, a famous bank robber once said that the reason he robs the banks is because, well, that's where the money is. Well, in today's world, you may have to go to churches. A flashy Brooklyn bishop was robbed in the middle of his live stream service Sunday when a gun-toting crook robbed him at the podium before fleeing with, guess what, $400,000 in jewelry. Now, the Rolls-Royce driving bishop, Lamore Whitehead, last made news in May when he tried to negotiate the surrender of an accused subway shooter, but authorities separately nabbed the suspect. Now, on Sunday, Whitehead was in the middle of his sermon at the Leaders of Tomorrow International Ministries at about 11:14 a.m. when three masked gunmen burst in. This is all according to the police. How many of you have lost your faith because you saw somebody else die? That's what Whitehead asked his congregation right before he spotted the armed intruders. Then, all right, Mr. Whitehead said, then several times before hitting the floor on his hands and knees. The men, as I say, took $400,000 worth of jewelry from the bishop, his wife, and possible churchgoers, according to police. Now, Whitehead was dressed in a maroon suit with a gold trim collar and sleeve cuffs, was wearing a long gold chain and a large ring on each finger at the time. No one has been arrested just yet as it relates to this theft, but who knew being a man of the cloth was such a rewarding experience where you could have $400,000 of jewelry stolen from you in church. Wow. Next on the docket, a Maryland woman is expected in court today on charges that she shot her husband in a DC hotel last week because she alleges he had been molesting children at the daycare that she runs. Now, Shantiri Weems has been charged with assault with intent to kill and several gun charges. Police originally responded to the Mandarin Oriental Hotel just after 7:30 p.m. on Thursday of last week when there were reports of shots fired and found Weems barricaded in the room with her husband. The police communicated through the door with her as she told him that her husband was a child molester. When the victim shouted that he'd been shot in the leg and head, Weems told him to shut the F up, I will kill you. Now, police eventually forced entry into the room, detained Miss Weems, who handed them a handgun from her purse. They found another gun unloaded in the safe. Now, Weems reportedly waived her rights to speak with the officers at the scene, telling them that she had been married to the victim for 5 years and received multiple calls from parents of children at her daycare accusing her husband of molesting their children. Now, she said that she confronted her husband about the allegations and that the argument became heated. She said she shot him when he began to go forward towards her, self-defense possibly. Police said they found a document in a notebook in the room repeating those claims. Now, according to one of the reports, she wanted to paralyze her husband. In another, she apologized to her babies, saying, I didn't know, and also found a notebook that was her last will and testament. Now, the Baltimore County Police said that Ween's little kid's castle would remain closed while the investigation into the shooting, as well as the allegations of the child molestation, continue. Now, the Baltimore County detectives are currently monitoring the recent developments in Washington, D.C., and they said, quote, Due to the sensitive circumstances leading up to the incident, the Baltimore County Police Department continues to support the families impacted. Now, police said the injuries to the victim, coincidentally a retired Baltimore City police officer, were not life-threatening. Next, a story you can put in the You Can't Make This Stuff Up. Earlier this month, an Ohio man was sentenced to 15 years in prison for doing terrible things to two young girls and possessing inappropriate child images. Now, the Cincinnati police started investigating a guy by the name of William Abney back in April of 2021 after receiving a sexual assault complaint. Police executed a search warrant at his home in October and discovered these inappropriate child images depicting prepubescent children. Now, Abney was convicted of raping two girls, one younger than 10 and one younger than 13. The assault occurred over the course of 5 years, going back to 2012. Authorities said Abney was in possession of more than 100 illicit images that had been downloaded from online. At least one of those pictures shows a girl performing various acts on adults. And Abney told police that he sought out children in inappropriate ways because of the stories were well written. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. He sought out these inappropriate images for children because the stories were well written. I don't know. 15 years because the man enjoys literature? I don't know. Boy, yeah, that's a stretch. No, he does it because he's got big, big problems. Big, big problems. Given his age, hopefully he won't be around to harm anyone else, or maybe his parts will stop working after the time he's eligible to get out. Next on the docket, a love story. A 39-year-old Florida man is behind bars after allegedly shooting and killing his girlfriend. He then called 911 and falsely told the police that the woman shot herself in the head. Now, Sean Booth Chitster was taken into custody and charged with one count each of dangerous and depraved murder without premeditation, kidnapping, as well as two counts of violation of a no-contact order in the death of his girlfriend, Danielle Marie Blackburn. Now, Blackburn, earlier in the month, called 911 after Chitster allegedly assaulted her multiple times, but she declined to press charges, telling the police that, the accused killer had a beautiful side to him. The caller, later identified as Chitster, allegedly called 911 and told the emergency dispatcher that his girlfriend had committed suicide. The reporting party then advised dispatch that she's dead and she shot herself in the head and stated she's, dead in my kitchen. Upon arriving at the scene, first responders found Blackburn's body inside the residence. She had been shot in the head with a handgun and was pronounced dead on the scene. A 9mm handgun was recovered from the scene as well. And Chitster was also at the residence and allegedly told the deputies that Miss Blackburn had shot herself while he was in the other room. However, investigators observed Blackburn's autopsy, allegedly discovering evidence contradictory to Chitster's version of the events. The police said observations made by detectives at the autopsy found the wound was not consistent with a self-inflicted gunshot wound, according to the affidavit. Investigators also noted that Blackburn did not have any prior history of mental illness or suicidal tendencies. Chitster was initially taken into custody for violation of the no-contact order signed by a judge back on June 18th, requiring him to keep away from Blackburn, and prosecutors in Monroe County State Attorney's Office later decided to charge him with murdering Blackburn. They stated, quote, "We made the decision to charge Chitster with murder Monday of this week. We knew we had him and he wasn't getting out of custody." You can't make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen. Imagine that. Somebody being in a abusive relationship where she's called the police, recanted. There's a violation of the protection order, which is only as good as the piece of paper that's written upon. And imagine that. The victim winds up dead. Imagine that. And you wonder why they have cool down periods for these types of situations. You wonder why the protection orders are meant to be complied with, but, obviously are not. Sad situation indeed. And some people would just call it a love story. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal of the day. McDonald's in Vermont needed to be evacuated after an employee allegedly threw live ammunition on the restaurant's grill, according to police reports. Now, the South Burlington Police Department raced to the McDonald's on Shelburne Road after they received a report about a firearm disturbance at about 5 p.m. on Saturday. When the police arrived, they learned that a male employee allegedly removed ammunition from a handgun and threw three live rounds on the grill. Now, the move caused the ammunition to explode, and officer said that fortunately that no one was injured and that the employees and customers were able to evacuate the McDonald's. Now, most people probably don't know this, but that ammunition loaded into a gun is the most dangerous during a fire. The heat from the fire can cause a round to fire just as if it would, as if somebody had pulled the trigger on the live round. Now, the bullets sitting in the non-aligned chambers can also discharge from the heat. And when firefighters hear the unmistakable popping sound of guns shooting off, they often must retreat until the danger decreases. Now, when police arrived at the McDonald's, they set up a perimeter and started to negotiate with the employee, who still had his handgun as well as more ammunition. Police were able to convince the employee to leave the gun in McDonald's and come outside. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks for watching. Let's go ahead and close the record for July 25th, 2022. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.